CatholicMarriages.com.
Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
It's Friday. Hope your Friday is going well and you're getting ready for another summer weekend. You're listening to Catholic Connection, EWTN Global Catholic Radio. My name is Teresa Tomeo. A blessing to be with you, as it is every day, to be able to talk about, as Al Cresta would say, the things that matter most. Of course, God numero uno, right there at the very top of our list, God willing. Our guests this morning also have the Lord and their ministries front and center. Janet Morana from Priests for Life and Silent No More is at a special retreat, a conference this weekend dealing with post-abortion syndrome, and she's going to be joining us right after the news at about 15 minutes past the hour. Then I'm very excited about talking with Dr. Martha Schuping. She is a colleague of our dear sister in the Lord, Dr. Priscilla Coleman. Dr. Coleman, of course, is one of the experts out there on post-abortion syndrome. Now, apparently she took a lot of her cues from Dr. Martha Schuping, who actually started in this research area even long before Dr. Coleman did. And Dr. Schuping is going to be speaking at a very big event in Columbus coming up very soon. That those of you in Ohio, if you can get to Columbus to hear Dr. Martha Schuping speak, I would highly recommend it. It's also involving our good friends at St. Gabriel Radio. And by the way, St. Gabriel Radio is having a fundraiser. I'm going to be a part of that this afternoon. So for those of you in Columbus, in the Ohio area, if you haven't decided to support Catholic Radio, please do so to keep us on the air to get the truth out. Because as we know, as our Holy Father says in his latest encyclical, Caritas in Veritate, the truth shall set you free. So Janet Morana and Dr. Martha Schuping coming up on today's program. And don't forget, if you have a question for any of our guests, if you're a new listener and you haven't jotted this number down, here it is again, 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. I wanted to let you know about a very interesting email I received. I think it's a listener. I'm not sure, but this person, I don't know if it's a man or a woman. The name is Germaine, so I suppose it could be either. But writes me last night and talks about the fact that how can we sit there and criticize, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, I don't have time to read the whole email, but how can we sit there and criticize Notre Dame? And he or she was taking this from my website because there are pictures that I had posted for quite some time after Dominic and I returned from the protest there, pictures holding signs that said, shame on Notre Dame. And we were very involved, of course, in bringing people to understand what was going on there, having guests like Dr. Monica Miller and many, many others from ndresponse.com, replacejenkins.com, various teachers in the Catholic Church discussing why this was a problem. So this person is saying, well, that it's hypocritical. And again, I'm paraphrasing and summarizing for the sake of time, saying it's hypocritical for me and for we pro-life activists. So I'm assuming this person isn't pro-life. To criticize Notre Dame when the Pope is allowing Obama to come to the Vatican. Now, I am thinking, based on the tone of this email, and I'm a pretty astute person, I'm not, you know, a genius, and I have a lot of flaws, but I'm pretty intuitive and I'm pretty insightful, and that comes from a lot of years of dealing with people and the public, and also a lot of years as a journalist and interviewing people and having to size things up fairly quickly, that this person knows exactly what's going on, that this person understands the difference, but wants to be a Mr. or a Mrs. Smarty Pants and use this to his or her advantage. All right? And it's very, very frustrating. And I also thought it was rather demeaning in terms of the tone that he or she used in the email, because unless you are, I'm sorry, extremely ignorant, then you've got to understand, you have to understand the difference between the Pope, who's also a head of state, who meets with all kinds of people all the time, every single day, practically, greets all different leaders from all around the world, the difference between that and a Catholic university who wants to hold on to its Catholic identity and directly going against church teaching and defying its own bishop, as well as the majority of bishops in the Catholic Church. Not only defying the bishops in by inviting the most pro-abortion president to speak on their campus and going directly in conflict with what the bishops said and still say that you cannot invite someone, you should not invite someone to come and speak who is directly in conflict with church teaching, someone as blatant as Obama. And then also give him a platform, a huge platform, and then honor him, give him an honorary law degree, basically sealing the deal, saying that we welcome you, we give you a platform to pontificate, no pun intended, about your stance on the issues, which is a direct conflict with the church that we claim to be a part of. And then we, as I said, seal the deal with a degree, honorary law degree. To try and compare the two is, as I told this person in the email, trying to play both sides, you know, of the coin. So this is my response. And I think we're going to, this made me think about something. The reason I'm sharing it with you is because I think we're going to get a lot of that this weekend, because the media will be covering the Holy Father's meeting with Obama. Okay? So here's my response. Thanks for writing. It's actually pretty simple. The meeting with the Pope is not providing an international platform for a politician to give a speech and get all kinds of attention for his pro-abort agenda. This is a private meeting. Big difference between Notre Dame falling all over itself and inviting Obama than the Vatican agreeing to meet with another international leader, which the Pope does all the time if you are at all familiar with regular happenings at the Vatican. And pretty obvious, and sorry, but I don't understand why you don't see the vast difference between the two. Actually, to be honest, I think you do, but are trying to play both ends of the spectrum. But at any rate, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops has clear teachings on this as well, as which I will get into. However, you must realize, or maybe you don't, that the Pope is a head of state. He meets with world leaders all the time, many of whom do not agree with church teaching. As a head of Vatican City State, the Pope is also the vicar of Christ and charged with preaching the gospel and reaching out. He did not invite the president to speak at the Vatican or offer the president any type of honorary recognition or degree. The Pope is going to express his concerns as he did with the latest encyclical regarding life teachings. The Holy Father also sees these opportunities as chances to witness to the truth, as he did with Nancy Pelosi in their meeting a few months ago. There was no such witnessing, dialogue, or any other kind of discussion at Notre Dame. It was simply ND, Notre Dame, appealing to the liberal board. Okay? The USCCB has made it clear in a number of statements that Catholic colleges and universities are not to give platforms to leaders or politicians in direct conflict with Catholic teaching. Not only did Notre Dame give Obama a huge platform with inviting him to give the commencement address, but also they gave him an honorary degree, basically stating that although he is the most radical pro-abort in the White House, his actions, which conflict with Catholic teaching, are worthy of not only a platform, but an award. I hope this clarifies it for you, but it seems pretty clear to me, and I think it's pretty clear to you as well. So I would be prepared for some challenges or questions like that. And if you understand, as Joan Lewis was saying last week, and we were talking in preparation for the Holy Father's meeting with President Obama, which is taking place after the G8 summit today, to be ready to address this and say, okay, very politely, but firmly, what part of this don't you understand? There is a big difference. And I really sense that people know that, that people who supported this ridiculous fiasco at Notre Dame understand that, but they just want to use it, and they don't want to look really at the facts, which is pretty much the case that we have out there in so many instances. Amen? Amen. By the way, speaking of not facing the facts, not facing the truth and all that stuff, a wonderful Archbishop of Denver, Archbishop Charles Chaput, has this terrific, terrific talk, or gave a terrific talk, I should say, earlier this week to a Legatus group. So good. It picks up on what he said when he was talking to the American Bible Society in May, where he really addresses this issue of the media and how people are being formed by the media, and how Catholics specifically have to understand what's going on, and they have to understand how the media operate and work and be able to filter and to discern what's coming at them 24/7. The man is brilliant. He just gets it. So anyway, this article, the summary of his talk, is on the Catholic News Agency website this morning, and I wish I had time to go into it, but do yourself a favor and go to CNACatholicNewsAgency.com and take a look at what the good Archbishop Chaput had to say, and pray for him, by the way. I understand he just had some back surgery this week. He has, I guess, some back problems. He had surgery, I believe, yesterday, and was only hospitalized overnight, so I think he is resting now at home, but keep him in your prayers. He's a terrific, an amazing leader, a great writer. One of my favorite new books is Render Unto Caesar. It's been out for a while, but I finally picked it up and read it about a month ago from cover to cover, and something else that I underlined and highlighted and starred all over the place. So, anyway. I digress. It is time for the news at just about 10 minutes past the hour. Here's a look at our news on Friday, July 10th, 2009. U.S. Supreme Court Justice, according to LifeSiteNews.com, Ruth Bader Ginsburg seeming to have made a stunning admission. Very interesting story here, folks. We're going to talk about this with Janet Moran and Dr. Martha Shuping. In favor of cleansing America of unwanted populations by aborting them. LifeSite News taking a look at an interview that was done with the New York Times and the Justice. The judge saying that Medicaid should cover abortions and that she had originally expected that Roe v. Wade would facilitate such coverage in order to control the population of groups that we don't want to have, quote-unquote, too many of. LifeSiteNews.com reporting that statement was made in the context of a discussion about the fact that abortions are not covered by Medicaid and therefore are less available to poor women. Reproductive choice has to be straightened out, said Ginsburg, apparently lamenting the fact that only women of means, she thinks, can easily access abortion. Frankly, she said, I had thought that at the time Roe was decided, there was concern about population growth, and particularly growth in populations that we didn't want to have too many of. Her remarks appear to align her expectations for abortion with those of Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger. And our guest, Dr. Shuping, is an expert in Planned Parenthood, their agenda, the background, so it'll be interesting to get her perspective on this story. As we were saying, in line with expectations for abortion with those of Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger and other prominent members of the 20th century's eugenics movement. Sanger and her eugenics peers advocating the systematic use of contraception, sterilization, and abortion to reduce the numbers of poor, black, immigrant, and disabled populations. In other news, as we were mentioning earlier at the top of the hour, the president is set to meet with the Holy Father after the wrapping up of the G8 summit in Italy today. White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs says that he expects the two men will have a quote-unquote frank discussion. Gibbs said the meeting will give them a chance to talk about issues they agree on, as well as what they disagree on, like Obama's outreach to the Muslim world and goals to reduce the number of nuclear weapons in the world, of course. Barack Obama's pro-abortion agenda is directly in conflict with Catholic Church teaching. A group of Somali hardliners with suspected ties to al-Qaeda beheaded seven people today for their Christian faith. The movement carried out the executions in a south-central town they control. A relative of one of the victims saying the extremists told him seven were put to death for, quote, being Christian followers and spies. It's believed to be the rebel group's largest execution so far to date. The National Education Association rejecting a proposal to keep the group officially neutral on the issues of abortion and family planning. According to Baptist Press, the recent meeting in San Diego, the NEA went on record supporting laws legalizing civil unions and same-sex marriage and backed efforts to repeal federal legislation that discriminates against same-sex couples, a move that may target the Defense of Marriage Act. Jerry Lee Smith is co-founder of the Conservative Educators Caucus within the NEA, and told Baptist Press, right now, they say they have a neutral position on abortion, which means let the woman choose. Smith added that no position means the NEA could not be sued if there was any evidence they were spending any money or making any effort to help the Roe v. Wade decision. And the vigil for two journalists imprisoned in North Korea held last night, Abbott Dutton reports on the hundreds of people who gathered in California's state capitol for the event.
Last month, Sacramento native Laura Ling and her colleague Una Lee were sentenced to 12 years in labor camp after they were convicted of a grave crime by the North Koreans. Ling's father lives in Sacramento, and her sister, national correspondent Lisa Ling, spoke briefly with her sister earlier this week. She says Laura admits they broke the law in North Korea and now need the help of the government to ask for amnesty.
My sister and Una are not criminals. They're not murderers. On one day, on March 17th, they made a very, very big mistake for which they are paying now.
Abbott Dutton reporting.
And finally this morning, General Motors expected to emerge from bankruptcy today. GM President and CEO Fritz Henderson holding a news conference this morning to give an update on the automaker's status so far. Henderson will be joined by Edward Whitaker, Jr., who will be the chair of the new company. The pair are expected to announce Vice Chair Bob Lutz will not retire at the end of the year, but stay on with the company in a new role. One auto analyst, Stephanie Brindley, saying the government will have to be very careful not to micromanage the new company.
Government's going to have to be able to watch over without without directing it based on taking the consumer good and the good of the society over making money, because to one degree or another, if they're not profitable, then this whole exercise has been for naught.
A U.S. District Court judge paving the way for General Motors to emerge from Chapter 11 yesterday when he rejected a request to delay the sale of the automaker's good assets. It's a Friday morning edition of Catholic Connection, coast to coast and around the globe. You're listening to EWTN Global Catholic Radio. If you want to read the Holy Father's encyclical, and I hope you do, I hope you have time or make time to do that, EWTN has a direct link on their homepage at EWTN.com. Janet Miranda is coming up in just 2 minutes, and at the bottom of the hour, Dr. Martha Schuping. And we'll be talking this hour, of course, more about the pro-life issues, especially post-abortion syndrome, with both of these experts in this area. We'll be right back.
Investing can be stressful, especially during tough economic periods. Ave Maria Mutual Funds offers you the peace of mind associated with professional investment management. Experienced portfolio managers make investment decisions based on sound investment fundamentals and pro-life values. If you're a serious long-term investor, now may be a great time to examine your portfolio and see if the Ave Maria Mutual Funds could help you achieve your goals. To learn more, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA for a free investor kit or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
It's Catholicism 101 on Christ is the Answer this week. We're revisiting a series of Catholicism 101 classes Father Ricardo taught over the summer of 2005 for parish catechists. The topic this week is a thoroughly Catholic book, the Bible. Listen Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday afternoons at 5, and Sunday mornings at 11 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the answer.
Christ is the answer is brought to you by the Ave Maria Communications Guild.
You and I know I'm probably driving you nuts, but look, I just really think that it's very, very important that when we have these opportunities to learn and grow in our faith, we take advantage of them. One of the great things about the media is that we can access, as Dr. Pia De Saleni said yesterday in the program, these incredible writings from our Holy Father and other great church teachers instantaneously online now. And I really encourage you to go to EWTN.com or another favorite website of yours and get the encyclical. Very important, because there will be continued, as we go forward with the agenda of this administration, there's going to be continued discussions on these different topics and these different questions. The Pope illustrates, outlines, connects the dots for us. It's very easy to understand. It's not difficult at all. Maybe you're not familiar with all the documents he mentions. I wasn't either. But to me, that's just a new opportunity to learn and grow, and I plan on reading those other encyclicals. I have read Humana Vitae, and I have read Evangelium Vitae, but there are some other documents in there that I haven't gone through entirely yet. But this is a great opportunity, and it'll help you see how church teaching never contradicts itself. We learn more. It is explained maybe more fully and developed. A truth can be developed, but truth doesn't change. And this is why we have people like Janet Miranda on with us every week and Father Frank Bavone, because they are dealing with giving people the truth. This encyclical is about saying there is a truth, there is a natural law, there is a moral order to things. And that's why I was encouraging you to read Archbishop Chaput's piece that's on Catholic News Agency this morning. He's been doing a lot of teaching lately about the importance of understanding how these messages are being filtered and changed and thrown at us from the secular media. Very important to understand that, because he points out in this particular piece that the media don't believe in a natural law anymore and are very suspect of any type of religion especially Christianity. And when you take that out of the picture, that there is a natural law and a moral order, you are really getting construed information and very poor information. And so that's why we're always talking about reading these things for yourself. Right, Janet? Good morning, darling.
Good morning. Absolutely. You don't get the truth from the media. You get the truth from the church.
And from which is basically the press secretary for God, as one priest said the other day, which I thought was a great comment. I know that you're at the retreat and that you're dealing with a lot of big issues there with post-abortion syndrome and whatnot. But I wanted, before we get into that, for you to comment with your expertise on the situation, the story that's breaking about Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Well, you know, as they say, a tiger doesn't change her stripes here. And we've known her to be, you know, just so pro-abortion beyond belief. But what she's indicating here is she has the same philosophy as Margaret Sanger and also Adolf Hitler, that, you know, who are the undesirables? You know, as she's saying here in this article, did you read it yet in the NewsHour or not?
I read the LifeSite news story, part of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, go ahead and read it. Share it again with our listeners if people are just tuning in.
Well, you know, for her to say that she had originally expected that Roe v. Wade would facilitate such coverage in order, meaning Medicaid coverage, okay, in order to control the population of groups that we don't want to have too many of. Now, can she please define who are the groups?
Well, that's what I want to know. Is she just quoting what the original plan of Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood was, or is this her own personal belief here?
Right. And who are the groups that she doesn't want too many of? Now, you know, she's a Supreme Court judge. You know, she, as she says here in the article, you know, she grew up in Brooklyn, which I did too, and also I'm ashamed to say she's from Brooklyn. But, you know, in other words, she's trying to show, like, see, I made it. You know, I climbed up the ladder, you know, from a poor Jewish little city girl up to be a Supreme Court judge. Well, so who are the people that she doesn't want too many of? You know, she's talking about Medicaid abortions. So in order to get a Medicaid abortion, we're talking about people who don't have, you know, a good economic situation currently. But, I mean, is it poor people? Is it black and Hispanics? Is it, but Margaret Sanger, as you know, went on to say beyond just that, you know, Down syndrome,
right,
people with mental retardation,
mm-hmm,
defects of any kind. I mean, their list goes on and on and on. And to me, their, you know, Margaret Sanger's list was very similar to Adolf Hitler's list, you know, kind of trying to create this pure race of, you know, undesirables. And so this to me is extremely alarming, that someone who is supposed to, not rewrite the Constitution or the laws of our country, but just sit as a Supreme Court justice, has this very extreme attitude of saying that there are undesirables. I mean, so who's undesirable to her today? Someone else could be undesirable next month or next year. You know, Teresa, it's very, very scary. I think people should be shouting from the rooftops about this very biased and discriminatory comment she has made.
I'm surprised it even is making it into the New York Times article.
Yeah, I am too. But, I mean, because you know what it is? You know what it is, Teresa? This is where, like, it's kind of like they're unashamedly the way they are.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, well, we've got our man
sense.
In the White
yeah.
House.
Mm-hmm.
We're in control. So let's just lay our cards on the table. You see, in the past, they've kind of, you know, tiptoed around it. But now, because they think they've got their guy up at bat, they're just blatantly coming out and speaking their minds. You know, it's a real wake-up call, and people should be writing letters to the editor. People should be, you know, people should be writing to is the ACLU and saying, who is she talking about? Who is she discriminating against? Because this is a discriminatory statement she's making. I would be very, very upset, alarmed, and concerned, and, you know, all minority groups should be shouting from the rooftops against the Supreme Court justice and saying.
See, it's interesting, though, because in the way, and I'm just looking at this now from a journalistic perspective, it's not specific as to whether does she believe this or is she just commenting on
right.
how abortion and this whole mentality began with Planned Parenthood and Margaret Sanger. But either way, it's extremely revealing that she's admitting that this is a part of the plan. Even if, let's say, if we read the full New York Times piece, and she's not saying that I believe that, maybe, I don't know, because I don't know if, you know, this is exactly, if she was commenting herself on this is what I believe, or again, just reflecting on Sanger's approach to this whole thing. But
right.
either way, this mm-hmm. is something that the pro-aborts have either denied or said, well, Margaret Sanger changed her stripes, which we know
right.
she didn't.
And see, the whole point of this article was they were originally interviewing her regarding Sotomayor's nomination. I mean, that was where this, you know, all began, this interview with the Times. And so, you know, if anyone has any doubt where Sotomayor stands on abortion, well, here you go, you know. This Ginsburg is supporting Sotomayor in her comments and saying, you know, so... It's all the same ball of wax, Teresa.
And the other thing that's bothering, that really bugs me, not that I'm surprised, but it just really gets my Italian up, is her flippant attitude, like, oh, those of us who are still fighting for pro-life causes, get over it. It's a done deal. I'm paraphrasing,
yeah.
of course, but, you know, oh, you guys are so, you're so old school, you know, get
right.
with the program. Yeah.
Well, you know what? It's not over. And guess what? Hello, Ruth Ginsburg there. Did you look at the latest poll saying now 51% of Americans consider themselves pro-life?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's settled. And I just love the comment when that they love to make is that Roe v. Wade is settled law.
Oh,
first
really?
All, yeah, don't you ever hear them say that?
I know that. I'm being sarcastic. But
oh, I know.
Yeah.
But first of all, let's correct everybody that there was never a law. Created. This is a Supreme Court decision that they've kind of tried to make it seem like it's the law of the land, Roe v. Wade. No, it's not the law of the land. It's the opinion of a handful of justices that brought down that decision. And the way, and just like, you know, at one time it was legal to own a slave, and then the Supreme Court changed their mind. I think there's been over 100 decisions in the history of our Supreme Court where they have changed their mind down the road about a prior decision. So I hate to tell her, no, this is not settled. This is not a done deal. We pro-lifers are going to be out there more than ever before standing up for our unborn brothers and sisters and also for the mothers and fathers that are hurt by abortion. You know, and as you alluded to, I'm here at a Rachel's Vineyard Leadership Training Conference here in Malvern, Pennsylvania, which, by the way, Teresa, if you ever get up this way, this is a beautiful, beautiful retreat house. Conference center on 125 acres.
Yeah, I've heard about it. Janet Bankovic has a lot of her retreats there. As
matter
well,
of fact, she's for those of you who are in the driving distance or want to come, she is going to have a retreat and conference here at the end of July.
Mm.
So they should check the Malvern, that's M-A-L-V-E-R-N-E, Retreat House website, where they can see all the upcoming retreats that will be held here and conferences. It's beautiful grounds, Teresa. It's amazing. Just you know, we're dealing with a serious subject here, but there's grounds to walk on and beautiful stations of the cross out in the grounds to meditate. So it's the perfect setting to deal with such a difficult issue. And there's about 135 people have come from all over the country and as far as Australia and New Zealand.
Oh, how wonderful.
Come, here for additional training to continue with these Rachel's Vineyard retreat sites all over the place. So it's great. Wonderful, wonderful people. Very encouraging. And this morning, as we're speaking, here's a news flash. Father Pavone is having a promise ceremony for the lay missionaries of the Gospel of Life. And seven lay people are making their promises as you and I are speaking here on the radio right here at the Malvern Chapel. So breaking news.
There you go.
So while there's these disturbing things that are in the news about Justice Ginsburg, we can be really encouraged to know that more and more people are stepping up to the plate, getting involved in the pro-life movement. We are not going away, Justice Ginsburg, and this is not a settled matter, and we are going to, with every breath in our being, continue to fight for justice for our unborn brothers and sisters.
Amen, and sister.
And we want to continue to bring the healing to anyone who's experienced abortion. You know, you don't hear the other side worrying about the people who've had problems with abortion. Do you ever hear them concerned? You know, they have these like websites you heard like Exhale and this and that, but they will never offer real help. And you know what I love to say, Teresa? You know, if the president really wants to kind of like show us that he wants to try to, you know, work with us, here's a challenge. All right. Why don't we take all the money that goes to Planned Parenthood and split it between Planned Parenthood and the pregnancy centers, pregnancy resource centers here in this country? Now, don't you think that would be fair?
I think so.
Don't you think? That's choice to me, right?
Mm-hmm. And if we want to make abortion safe, legal, and rare, and if we want to reduce abortions, is what the president says.
Right. Yeah,
which I can understand because of if you it's admitting that abortion is bad because if it's necessary, why should it be reduced?
Right. And the other thing, too, is if it's such a safe, wonderful product, why are you worrying about, you know, how many abortions are performed? You know, if it's such a good thing.
Right.
You know, come on.
Put up a billboard. Wear a T-shirt. Advertise it.
They know deep in every, you know, in every woman's being, having an abortion is going against what it means to be a woman.
Because it goes against the natural law.
Natural law. Yeah. Back to natural law.
The law of God that's written on our hearts.
That's right.
Which is what the Holy Father talks about so beautifully, and I've been talking nonstop about his encyclical, if you've read it yet, but I can't wait to talk to Father Frank about it, because I'm sure he'll have so much to say.
Well, and I'm looking forward to reading it this week.
Oh,
it's
so good.
To the conference.
Wait till you read it. You'll be jumping up and down.
Oh, I'm sure I will be. And, you know, that's what's so beautiful about our church, is that the teachings are just, you know, so right on. And really, you know, for people who complain about the Catholic Church or drift away from it, it's only because, and I know someone, and you do too, of people who did go away for a good number of years. And why did we go, Teresa? We didn't understand our faith.
We didn't understand and we didn't know what we were leaving.
We didn't study.
Right.
But I'm telling you, once you begin to delve into the teachings of this church, you fall in love with it. You really
Absolutely.
Fall in love with it.
Yeah. All right, my dear. Well, we're going to let you get back to do what you do best, and that is working with men and women in post-abortion areas. And you're such a blessing to us with your ministry. And we'll remember to catch you and Father tonight on Defending Life at 10 o'clock Eastern on EWTN. And, of course, you can check out Janet's work. Her ministry, as well as the work of Priest for Life. She's involved in both Silent No More and Priest for Life. SilentNoMoreAwareness.org, she's the co-founder, and Priest for Life, she's now the executive director at PriestForLife.org. Thanks, sweetie. Have a great weekend.
God bless.
God bless.
A safe weekend, everyone.
Up next, more about the life issues with Dr. Martha Schuping, who is an expert in post-abortion syndrome. She has a big speaking event coming up in Columbus. We'll tell you all about that. Stay tuned.
For 800 years, the Alexian brothers have served the sick, not as priests, but as Catholic brothers.
We're brothers because this is the life that God called us to.
In the struggle with alcohol or drugs or AIDS, the Alexian brothers are there.
We're looking for men who have the courage to live in vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. If a man is convinced that God has called him, then we have a spot for him.
If you feel a call to brother the world with the Alexians, call toll-free 1-800-556-0332.
Ave Maria University presents Summer Barbecue with the Founder, featuring AMU founder Tom Monahan, Tuesday, July 21st at 5 p.m. at Domino's Farms EVA Cafe. Receive exciting updates about AMU, hear testimonies from students, and see the vision of how educating our youth for success will have a positive impact on the church and the world. The cost for this event is $10 per person and free for all high school students. RSVP by Monday, July 20th. For more information, call 734-930-3435.
People are coming from all over to see and hear Father John Carapi live at the 19,000-seat HSBC Arena in Buffalo, New York. Saturday, August 15th, Father Carapi will make his only scheduled public speaking appearance of the year and his first since 2007, and will ignite your faith with four Power Pack talks on the Holy Spirit. Tickets have been purchased by people from 45 states, as well as Australia, the Philippines, and throughout Canada. Appearing with Father John Carapi will be EWTN's Raymond Arroyo and me, Jerry Usher, your master of ceremonies.
Join Ave Maria Radio on this three-day pilgrimage that also includes a visit to the Royal Ontario Museum in Toronto to see the Dead Sea Scrolls exhibit. For complete information, call Corporate Travel at 313-565-8888. That's 313-565-8888. Or on the web at ctscentral.net.
You need the prophetic message and inspiration of Father John Carapi.
So grateful for the work of Dr. Martha Schuping, and gosh, I don't know where to begin. She has quite an extensive resume. She's a medical doctor and specializing in the psychological area of treatment of women and men with post-abortion syndrome. She's spoken all over the world, and actually on four continents, and she has a homepage where you can access a lot of information, including this, a really good article that she co-wrote a few months ago, Big Girls Do Cry, The Hidden Truth of Abortion, rachelnetwork.org, rachelnetwork.org. And we're having Dr. Schuping on for a number of reasons this morning. First and foremost, I just wanted to get to know her more about her and more about her work through our friend Priscilla Coleman, who's a regular guest on this program, who's a PhD in the area of post-abortion syndrome and research, but also because she has a very important speaking event coming up in Columbus, and I promised my friends in Columbus that it would help them get the word out. And, Doctor, I know that you're speaking. It's actually coming up fairly soon, and we're going to get all the details, location, and the time, but it's next week, correct? Good morning.
Yes, yes, good morning. Yes, it is Friday, the 17th of July. I'll be in Ohio for the program.
Well, thanks for doing all this work. What led you to this area of study in your medical practice?
One of the things that happened to me, which I tell about in Big Girls Do Cry in that article, is that I had a patient, as a young psychiatrist in training, I had a patient who identified the abortion as the event that precipitated her depression. And it was a depression that was serious enough to put her in the hospital. And she had an abortion that she didn't want, but was pressured not only by her husband, but by her pastor. And so she had an abortion, even though she was a married woman, happily married, already had some kids, was just eager to be a mom to this new little person, and had the abortion against what her heart was telling her and couldn't live with it. And yet, despite what to me was an obvious need, my supervisor felt that it was not a problem. It was a chemical imbalance. When the medicine took effect, she'd be fine. And it was just this chemical imbalance that made her obsessed about the abortion. And I could see that wasn't the problem. So it kind of propelled me to look. How can we help people? What's being done? Who knows something that I can learn from? So I've been on a mission since then to try to find out what are the best ways of helping women.
What are some of the impact, or what is the impact on abortion? I know it's a very broad question, but what are some of the most direct ways that an abortion would affect, first of all, the woman who's having one, and now we're seeing many men coming forward and families who are, you know, struggling with, in their own way, post-abortion syndrome. What are some of the signs that someone may be, maybe we should go there first, struggling with this?
Well, it's not just one thing, and that's what, in a way, is so insidious. I was a co-author with Dr. Coleman on an article that looked at a huge body of data from what's called the National Comorbidity Survey, where you've got thousands of individuals with all different illnesses and looking for what illnesses go hand in hand with what other illnesses and what links with what. And we'd published a study showing that abortion was a risk factor for more than a dozen different mental health conditions. So, you know, you could have depression for a lot of reasons, but you can get depression after an abortion. And sometimes it doesn't come up right away, but it could come up a couple of years later when you have a miscarriage and you think, oh, God must be punishing me. It's because of that abortion. You know, it may come up later in life. There is a psychiatric condition called post-traumatic stress disorder, and we think of that with Vietnam veterans. We know how veterans have come back damaged, and now we see people also from Iraq, some people coming back from the Middle East, and they've had trauma that they've experienced. And so we're familiar with that. But for women also, it's really a comparable trauma. So some women, there was one study that found almost 1 in 5 women after an abortion at just 3 months out were had post-traumatic stress disorder. So, you know, it's not just one thing, though. There can be panic episodes. There can be so many different things, just a pervasive guilt that interferes with their parenting of subsequent children. So just a myriad different mental health effects.
Now, you do speak all over the world on this topic, and you have spoken out many, many times. But are you finding that you're speaking mainly to Christian audiences or conservative groups as opposed to being able to get this out there in the secular environment?
I think certainly at first, much more of my speaking has been to pro-life Christians. But increasingly, I'm able to talk to more mixed groups. And just for example, I was down in Ecuador and spoke to a general medical congress of OBGYNs from throughout Latin America. And so opportunities are arising to get more of this word out, and it just needs to continue to happen. I want the more people who are informed, the more people who can learn about this and spread by ripple effect too.
What's it like here in the States? Is there still a great resistance in the medical community to hear this information?
I think it's almost apathy and lack of information, because this is not talked about within the medical community. And it's not the case that people get invitations to go and speak and then people want to throw tomatoes or something. It's just that nobody's talking about it because they believe the status quo is what is, And the minority opinion isn't getting a wide hearing right now.
But there's so much evidence, isn't there, Doctor? I mean, not only from your experience, but in talking with Dr. Coleman, there's study after study showing a connection between problems and women and men who are post-abortive.
You know, I think to some extent it may be a case of you see what you want to see, but you do have people in high positions in medical schools, both within psychiatry and within OBGYN, who have become entrenched in a political position. And because they've become entrenched in the idea that everyone has this right to abortion, they don't want to see things that go against what their belief is. And as the more and more they become complicit in abortions, then they don't want to have a guilty conscience about it. They don't want to think they're hurting women. They want to be able to believe they're helping women. So medical students are taught that abortion is a good thing. And in fact, when I was in medical school, the school I attended did have ties with the Baptist Church, and so the denomination was not pro-abortion, but the school itself had a medical ethics program that was pro-abortion. And we had a chaplain who arranged presentations on abortion for our groups that just showed, you know, the tragedy of rich women can go to Japan and get abortions, and poor women, they're stuck with their coat hangers. And it's not really, basically, with all the mental health trauma that we know, that should not be on the table. It's just, it's horrific, really, that there's so much misinformation. But it is very difficult to get that word to people.
What will you be talking about next Friday when you speak in Columbus?
I've been asked to talk about the research that abortion hurts women. And one of the points that I always like to make is that there are now more than 40 studies that are all in peer-reviewed journals that have statistically significant results with statistical controls. These are good, 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 solid studies, and they're showing that abortion hurts women and that abortion is associated with all these different psychiatric illnesses. It's not just one thing. It's many different things, and it clearly is a risk factor for these various illnesses. So I want to make that point. I like to talk about post-traumatic stress disorder, which is one of the obvious things, because with post-traumatic stress, you have to have a stress first, and then there's certain classic types of symptoms that come from that, such as wanting to avoid things that remind you of the abortion. And so that's part of the reason why some women have problems bonding with subsequent children, is because it brings back memories of the abortion. They aborted that other baby, and it's a bad memory. It may make their heart beat fast, may make them feel nauseated, different things like that. So there's a lot of evidence for post-traumatic stress disorder. And in fact, it really is comparable in numbers, in percentage-wise, to the number of men coming back from Vietnam with post-traumatic stress. A U.S. government study had found that 15% of men coming back from Vietnam had post-traumatic stress disorder. A very good study in 2007 showed 18% of women having post-traumatic stress after abortion. So it's really in the same ballpark, the same magnitude of trauma, and that's something that I like for people to be aware.
All right, let me give out the information, Doctor, of where and when you'll be speaking next Friday, so we make sure people in that area of the country, and we have many listeners in the Columbus and Cincinnati area, can attend this event. It is next Friday, July 17th, and it's 7 to 8:30 p.m. It's at Christ the King Church. That's on East Livingston Street in Columbus, 614-718-0277. 614-718-0277 for questions. And again, Christ the King Church in Columbus, unveiling the myth. And, of course, a doctor will also be talking about some of the messages that we're getting out there in the culture, especially from Planned Parenthood. That is a week from today, next Friday, July 17th, at 7 o'clock to 8:30 in Columbus, Christ the King Church, 614-718-0277. And I know that our friends at St. Gabriel Radio are very involved in getting the word out as well. If you have a question, phone lines are open. 877-573-7825. Also, check out Doctor's webpage at rachelnetwork.org. Again, rachelnetwork.org. We'll be right back on a Friday morning edition of Catholic Connection with Dr. Martha Schuping. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, editor-in-chief of the Chaldean News. As we approach midsummer, we took a ride across the bridge for this month's cover story to find out how our Canadian cousins are doing. We found out that the Chaldean community in Windsor is growing. In fact, they recently purchased a church of their own. Monsignor Emmanuel Shalita celebrates 25 years as a Chaldean Catholic priest. His story is in the July issue. We also talked to members of the community about what they like most about being Chaldean. And despite the downturn in the economy, some entrepreneurs have ventured into new businesses. They're selling special smokes, designer deals, and helping Chaldeans look for love. Get your copy of the Chaldean News and learn about this ancient community living in modern times. You can subscribe or advertise today. Join Ave Photography, Maximum Security Solutions, and Country Fresh. Log on to www.chaldeannews.com and sign up for your weekly newsletter.
This is today's business proverb. When a supplier has failed to deliver, do you respond with a temper tantrum? Here's President and CEO Steve Marr.
King Solomon observed, "Some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing." Giving an angry response for service failures may allow us to blow off steam, but seldom fixes the problem. Focus on the problem and how the supplier can make the situation right rather than venting your feelings. Most vendors will offer a price break, pay extra shipping charges, or offer to make up for any inconvenience caused by their failure. The result will be better solutions for your business.
If you value Steve's biblically based comments, then why not share them with an associate or coworker? Go to businessproverbs.com and sign up for the free email version. Receive program scripts and other information when you sign up at businessproverbs.com. That's businessproverbs.com.
Welcome back. It's Catholic Connection on a Friday morning. So appreciate your great questions and your comments at 877-573-7825. We're talking with Dr. Martha Schuping, and you can find out more information about Dr. Schuping at rachelnetwork.org. But suffice it to say, she has a ton of experience in this area of post-abortion syndrome and research, an internationally recognized expert in post-abortion issues with over 20 years of experience in her field, the author of The Four Steps to Healing and the founder of Rachel Network. She's a graduate of the Honors College of Michigan State University and received her Master's of Arts in the University of Dayton, and also has a long background, as I said, in experience and knowledge in this area. So let's go to the phones. And again, I want to remind you that Doctor is speaking a week from today, actually, next Friday, July 17th in Columbus, Ohio. And it starts at 7, and she's speaking on Unveiling the Myth, and she'll also, of course, be unveiling the myth of Planned Parenthood, but in a more general sense, really talking about this research that's out there on post-abortion syndrome. And it is at the Christ the King in Columbus, and we'll give you the phone number again in just a second. Let's go to, is it Wynetta? Or Wynetta, am I pronouncing that correctly, in Georgia?
Juanita, yes.
Oh, hi, how are you?
I'm fine, Teresa, how are you?
Good, good. What's your question, honey?
Well, I just have a really quick question for Dr. Schuping. As a pro-life leader here in Atlanta, where can we find these articles that you were referring to? And will you be recording the copy and make a copy of your talk? Are you going to be doing that?
You can email me through my webpage, and okay. I can send anyone a copy of previous talks that I've given. I don't know whether this will be recorded or not this time. I hope it will be, but I don't know. But there are talks that I've given other places that are recorded.
Right, okay.
So if you email me through the webpage, you can do that. Where we can get the information, a lot of information is on that rachelnetwork.org page.
Okay.
And in addition, Dr. Coleman has a webpage, standapart.org.
Yeah.
So that's
mm-hmm.
another good place to look mm-hmm. for the research.
Okay, good. Standapart.org.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Thanks
all
for the
right,
phone
thank
call.
Thank you. You guys have a good day. Thank you.
You
for
too.
All your
God
work.
Bless. Michael
right,
calling
too,
from suburban Detroit, Clarkston, Michigan. How are you?
Good. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
I have a question for a doctor. It's not directly related to abortion. It's a step before that. I was wondering if, in her experience, working with couples, if she has come across where a couples at a certain point in their marriage have have, or the, where the husband may have asked the wife to be sterilized, and maybe have gone through that and not understood fully what has happened, and therefore not identifying the seriousness of it, not identifying the problem that maybe scratching away at their marriage, at their relationship, and I don't know if she could comment on that.
So basically, maybe not understanding, and just let me repeat it, Michael, to make sure that I understand your question in terms of the pain or the problems that may be occurring from the sterilization, and you know, not knowing that that really is at the core of the issue, you know, which actually is very similar, I would imagine, Doctor, to a lot of people who are maybe suffering from post-abortive syndrome and don't know why, or are told that that can't be the problem, you know?
Right. Well, very often when women go into an abortion, often there are other people who are involved in that decision that sometimes they're pressuring, but, you know, a decision is made usually without full information, and then later people find the repercussions, and later would be when some of the problems arise. But it can be similar with contraception of various forms, and certainly if a woman is pressured to do anything that she doesn't, you know, understand or that she doesn't truly want to choose, and when pressure is involved in any situation, that there's never a good outcome there, that's always a problem. But in particular, there is, the Priest for Life now has a booklet called, I think it's called The Contraception of Grief or Contraception Grief, something like that, and it tells the story of, you know, gives some background on how people are recognizing and dealing with those grief issues that can involve with various forms, not only of surgical sterilization, but other forms of contraception when people realize what they've lost. Or
right, and like, for example, if they were taking an abortifacient, you know, something like that, yeah.
Sure. So that is an issue for people, and that's
now you have,
people are beginning to come to terms with.
Yeah, you have some information on healing, and I wanted to get to that, too, because we were talking about Mike's question during the break. There are articles on healing. You mentioned the Priest for Life, but also you've got some information on your page, correct?
Well, actually, I have a separate web page called postabortionhealing.net.
Okay.
And at that web page, if you go there, you'll get information about a book called The Four Steps to Healing. And I wrote that book because there's so many people who are afraid to come out to a retreat, afraid to come to a support group. You know, they may go to a priest and go to confession, but they still don't feel healed. And the reason they still don't feel healed is because there are grief issues regarding the baby that's been lost. There are issues with other people who may have pressured the abortion. It's not just one thing where you go to confession and get absolution and you're fixed. Because there's the trauma of a woman losing her baby or what that means to the family and the psychological repercussions. So the Four Steps to Healing was written by myself and my sister Debbie Woodhams to meet this need so that women can begin to heal at home. And it uses a faith-based approach. There's a Catholic edition and a non-denominational edition. They're very similar. There's very few minor differences because the process is the same. And if you go to postabortionhealing.net, you can find a button to click either for the non-denominational or the Catholic edition to purchase. And the purchase is actually through Amazon, but this helps you find it easily.
Okay, and you've given us a lot of good resources here this morning, Doctor. I just want to make sure that I give them out again correctly. RachelNetwork.org, correct?
Correct.
That's one. And then you just mentioned postabortionhealing.net.
That's correct.
Okay, and then there was another one you mentioned as well. Isn't there? We're in
well,
three.
Standapart.org
right,
is,
that is Dr. Coleman's
right. Website, okay. Yes. I think the one other thing I would say is if anyone emails me looking for a program in your area, I probably hate to say this, but you can email me through the webpage, and I can help you to find a good program in your area if you don't know of something otherwise. But in many cases, there's a diocesan program. In most Catholic dioceses, there's a way for people to connect with help locally.
Okay, let's see if we have time for one more call. Claire calling from Toronto this morning on line 4. Hi, Claire.
Hi, thank you for your work there. I want to know how to break through. I mean, I consider it criminal negligence because we have the University of Toronto, we have the Women's Health Hospital, and also our city of Toronto. On their sexual health website, they describe abortion as very safe. And although I've given them lots of evidence to the contrary, and I say this is really, I think it's criminal negligence. No, it's an elective procedure, and they will not even acknowledge the harm that women can suffer as a result, not to speak of the baby. and future babies too. So any ideas on how to break this conspiracy, I call it?
Well, in Canada, you have a very good organization, Canada Silent No More. And here in the United States, we have not only the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, which is associated with Priests for Life, but also there's a group called Operation Outcry, which are women who speak out about their abortions. And that kind of goes direct from woman to woman, in a sense, because it's women speaking out about what they have suffered and creating public awareness. And I think that that is a really valuable service that is being provided.
Thank you. It's just so blatant, the lies. It just makes you wonder, how can they put it up there? They're medically, you know, they've got degrees like yourself. They're educated people. And I said, you don't put out even an aspirin these days to say it's very safe.
Yeah, and it's very difficult to control what they say and what they believe, because some of them may really believe that they're helping women, that this is totally safe. They've got kind of blinders on when it comes to the problems. But I think women to women is very important, with women being able to speak out, just as women did about breast cancer, for example. Now everybody talks about breast cancer, just in general, when it used to be kind of a taboo thing. But again, people need to talk about their abortions, for those who are called to do that, so that there can be the awareness.
Yes, well, that's true, and also the connection with abortion and breast cancer,
yeah,
which
that's
is
a whole
very
other,
under the...
That's a whole other show, Claire, and we're almost out of time. Have about 40 seconds left, but thank you so much. Appreciate your phone call and your work up there in Canada. I know you call in quite often, and you're working hard to get the truth out. Keep it up. Again, I just wanted to wrap up by letting you know that Dr. Shuping is going to be speaking next Friday, 1 week from today. That's Friday, July 17th, at 7 o'clock in the evening to 8:30, Christ the King Church, and that is on East Livingston in Columbus, Ohio. And, of course, she'll be talking a lot about what she spoke of this morning, but you'll be getting much more detail because you'll have even more time to ask questions. So I highly encourage you to go. And thanks to our friends at St. Gabriel Radio for advertising this as well. If you live in the Cincinnati area, Columbus area, even in the Dayton area, it is worth the drive. And, you know, wherever you're at, if you're in that area of the country, next week maybe on vacation, please think about going. Also, I want to give out some resources that Dr. mentioned this morning, rachelnetwork.org and postabortionhealing.net, and also Dr. Coleman's website, which is standapart.org. Dr. Shuping, thank you. It's been great to talk with you, and I hope you can come back on very soon. You're a wealth of information on this topic.
Thank you so much, Teresa.
God bless you for your work, too, and we will keep you in our prayers. And just are so grateful for people like you working so hard to get the truth out about the devastating impact of abortion on the baby, the women, the family, and society. You have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you on a Monday, and we'll also check in again with Dr. Meg Meeker. See you then.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Missed the show? Not sure if it came from Ave Maria Radio? Go to AveMariaRadio.net. A list of shows and hosts are there. And if you find the show you're looking for, you can hear the whole thing again by going through the Ave Maria Radio audio archives. For 2 years, we've recorded nearly every show from Ave Maria Radio. Just click on the audio archives message located at the center of our homepage. Now you even have more reasons to become a radioactive Catholic by going to AveMariaRadio.net.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. Judges are not supposed to be politicians. Their personal views on policy shouldn't matter because they are put on the bench to judge impartially according to the Constitution and the laws. They are not supposed to create public policy, and therefore their positions on issues shouldn't matter. Yet abortion is more than an issue. The protection of life is the very purpose of judges, courts, and governments. Part of being qualified as a judge, therefore, is to embrace that purpose and to understand that the right to life is exactly what our Declaration of Independence says it is, unalienable. Some 82% of Americans don't want a Supreme Court justice who would support late-term abortion. That does not just reflect their views on abortion. It reflects their views on what being a justice means. This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.